this is Ahmed Sharif and welcome to another episode of the Lead by DH Radio. Today is March 8th and it's observed as International Women's Day. Keeping up with the theme of the day and to talk about the role of women in the field of medicine, today we are joined by Dr. Aparna Srivatsa. Dr. Aparna is an oncologist who has a special interest in the cancers affecting the gynecological anatomy, breast and lungs. Hi doctor and welcome to DH Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me in your podcast.
It is great to have you on our show too. So, doctor, my first question to you is, what can be done to encourage, you know, more women participation in the field of medicine?
Yes, I think it's a very valid question. So, any country needs women in their workforce, be it medicine, be it defense or politics. So, women need to be encouraged to enter medical field. And their service to the medical fraternity has been really great. So what we can do is, as a child is having her say high school or college, we should always encourage that she is capable of doing everything that a man can do. So we should not think that a woman cannot do this, a woman cannot be a doctor, how will she manage? So this discrimination, parents, they play a very important role in guiding the career choices in India. So I request all the parents to encourage their girls, daughters, to take up medicine and become part of the workforce.
No, another thing, doctor, like, this is a very personal question. Like, during the pandemic, you know, there were, you know that, you know, people weren't allowed to move out and, you know, there was a delay in consultation and everything was online and, you know, how did you manage the situation?
So, online consultations were inevitable in that kind of a pandemic situation. Mm-hmm. And some of the rural population, they were not even having online consultations. And it was very difficult and it was very unfortunate that we saw patients in very advanced stages and in early stages, cancers are even curable. But as patients were very hesitant to come to the hospital, they delayed the diagnosis and they came very late. So when we had online consultations, we actually motivated them that they can take the proper precautions like wearing mask, hand sanitizer and come to the hospital. And by the time they came to the hospital, it was already advanced stages. So even if a second wave of COVID comes, even then patients should realize that they have to take proper precautions and take care of themselves and get their condition diagnosed. So it was very unfortunate that we saw patients in very advanced stages where we could not offer them cure, but only we could control the situation. They were already in very advanced stages.
Actually, my next question, right, it is, it's sort of a, you know, a deduction of the previous two. Like, why I asked you, because why we need more women in medicine and also this uniqueness of this pandemic situation is that most women patients, right, they prefer a woman doctor.
Yes.
Isn't it? So, in such a situation,
yes.
What can be done?
So, it's very important. Sometimes, women would like to share their concerns with, they can be more, they can communicate freely with a woman doctor and share their ailments. Sometimes they'll have problems in their sexual life, sometimes some social issues with them, which they may not want to share with a male doctor. So it is so many times, cancer not only affects the organ or the patient's body, it also affects their family life. So many times women get divorced because they were diagnosed with cancer and they have become a burden to the husband. So a lot of problems happen to women who are diagnosed with cancer. And with another woman, they open up and they share their problems, not only physical, but also with family and economic, financial hurdles that they'll be facing. So many women I have seen who have got divorced and their kids, they have managed their business all alone and they have got cured also. So I think having the woman doctor helps them in various different ways, not only giving the treatment, but also actually moral support, actually counseling always helps women patients. So having more women doctors will help more women, and even men, they actually, like in a survey, it was seen that many male patients preferred a woman doctor because women have some qualities, like they are good listeners, they are more compassionate. So even men also prefer women doctors in many surveys.
And another thing is that this is a very sort of a professional, thing. Like, you know, you see more women doctors being, in the field of gynecology or obstetrics. So is there any other field where, you absolutely don't have women? Like, is there anything like that in medical field?
No, actually, earlier the surgical field, surgery is the oldest form of treatment in medicine. So before all these injections, medicines and other laser and all came, first thing was surgery. So any problem happens, you cut it out with surgery. So surgery is the oldest done. And women used to fear going to surgical field because it was dominated by many. But in the recent years, last 15 years, I have seen so many women becoming surgeons, and they have really excelled in their field. And I don't think there is any form of any subspecialty or super speciality in medicine where there are no women. So women have reached moon, isn't it? So no speciality is devoid of women.
Is there a rise in cancers in women? Like, is that demographic more prone to cancer? What does the statistics tell you, doctor?
Yes, I'll tell you this GlobalCan. There is this GlobalCan 2018 data which looked at the incidence of cancer in both men and women separately, and also the incidence of cancer in both sexes combined. And it was so disheartening to know that in both sexes combined, breast cancer was the most common cancer. So even when you combine men and women together, if you take the number of breast cancer patients, breast cancer was the most common cancer in both sexes combined. So it is really very disheartening to know that cancer in women is increasing, especially breast cancer and cervical cancer. So it is really, we have to create some awareness in our public, in the minds of women, that cancer is increasing and they have to really take care of themselves and undergo cancer screening tests to detect cancer in early stages.
And what do you think might be the cause? Is it because the diet is not good or the environment that they are living is not good? What might be the underlying reason for this rise?
Yes, cancer is multifactorial. There are many different causes for cancer. So one is, as you said, diet is a very important unrecognized factor in cancer. We are consuming very excess of calories. We are not doing exercise, and especially women, they are very busy with the kids or husband or their own career, and they don't do exercise. They are putting on weight when they get pregnant, when they are lactating mothers. They tend to put on weight. When they undergo menopause, they become obese. So obesity and this excessive calories in the diet is a very important factor. And in breast cancer, there are multiple hormonal factors which make women prone for cancer.
Now, doctor, as an oncologist, right, I know you have like a very stressful daily routine. Like, what are the challenges and obstacles do you see, and how do you maintain like a work-life balance?
So the obstacle which I faced was that I work in Shimoga, and when I joined, I came here 5 years back. I was the first woman oncologist in this whole central Karnataka. I was very young and naive, and many patients would not believe what I would say. They would think that she is a very young doctor. Is she experienced enough? They used to doubt the decisions that I would make. I was new to this place also. So they would just come for a consultation, and after I tell them something, they wouldn't come to me again, and they would go to other centers like Bangalore or Manipal and other places. So they were not believing me. So what I did was I I did some small homework, and I tried to look more authoritative. See, when you go to an old doctor with gray hair and they look very experienced. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go to a very young doctor, you don't get the same confidence in them. So I changed my appearance a little. I started wearing clothes which look more authoritative, and I changed my body language. I started sitting straight, and I would look into the eyes of the patients, and I would listen to them. So, as you know, 70% of the communication is non-verbal. So, our appearance, how we communicate with the patient, it is very important. So, I changed a little bit of my appearance and body language, and I started sounding more authoritative. So, I started documenting whatever I would discuss with them. I would start writing in the my consultation notes also, so that when they go to another doctor, they would know what were my thoughts and what options I had suggested. So as they started, as I continued my practice here, other oncologists, other doctors, they started to notice that I was actually good in my decisions. So they started endorsing me, and they would say that, yeah, she is good, you go to her. So that way, I built this confidence in the minds of the patients. Mm-hmm. So that way, I think any woman doctor, be it oncologist or otherwise, they have to look more authoritative, sound more authoritative, and talk in a way they exude confidence and not arrogance. So this way, I built an image that I was a very efficient oncologist. And when it comes to work and family life balance, I am a mother of 3 children, and my twin babies are infants. So in such a situation, a woman needs a lot of family support, and I believe the support of the husband is of utmost importance. If a husband says something, no one else would disagree. But in the family, he's the head of the family. Mm-hmm. So my husband is also a very busy cardiologist, and I cannot ask him to do babysitting because his career is also as important as my career. So this mutual respect is very important when it comes to doctors, and the husband should understand that my career is also important, and I'm very lucky to have a very supportive husband. And we have agreed to have some babysitters. We have many women in our house who are helping our babies with their daily routine. So that way, our work and family life balance we are maintaining. Because they are doing babysitting, I am able to cater to the intellectual needs of the family. But the husband also needs a lot of emotional support from the wife. As I have my ups and downs in my career, my husband is also having his ups and downs. And it is very important to have this mutual understanding. And we should allow each other to grow up and excel in their career. So I believe that success is never like a ladder. It is not a way straight or vertical. It should be a 360-degree sphere. That we should not excel not only in our career, but also in our family life. Our family also should prosper. Our kids should get the intellectual support from the mother. And my health is also important. So when we balance our career, health and family, that's a 360 degree achievement of my goal.
Yeah, that's a very nice way of putting a very nice analogy, doctor. Now, another thing, this is my final question to you. You know, some of my friends when I was growing up also, when they were deciding careers and everything, they would always say, oh, medicine is a very, dedicated field. Should I go into that? And a lot of young women have that sort of, thought in their, in their minds. Like, any advice to these young women who want to pursue their careers in medicine?
Yes, I agree that it is a very intense sort of branch where you have to do a lot of hard work, not only in your residency, but even as a doctor when you start practicing. Oncology is a very rapidly evolving subject, and every day a new medicine gets discovered, it gets approval. So every day I read at least for half an hour. Even now, even when I'm practicing, I have 3 children. But still, I have to read daily. So it is a very demanding sort of a branch, but it is always doable. It is not impossible. So I have done it, many others have done it. So I welcome every young woman who is interested in medicine to take up this branch. But you always keep it in your mind that you have to really work hard to excel in this field. And it's really worth it because doctors who treat cancer, they are like giant slayers. Cancer is a very deadly disease, and if you can defeat the giant, there is nothing like it. It's really rewarding to be an oncologist, and you just make up your mind. I think the first step is the parents. They should encourage the children that, yes, you can do it. We will support you. And you should take up this field. And also our government, the government of India, which is promoting the meritorious students. I am from a very low-income family, and I have always taken all my fees in the merit category. So the government of India is with our young women. They are giving rural quotas. There's so many privileges that the government of India is giving. So I think no parent should think that a girl should not do medicine. And as they get married also, they should look forward to people. The husband should be very supportive of the girl. I see so many qualified women. They are doctors, engineers. They are very qualified, but they are sitting at home and wasting their talent. It is a loss to the country that such qualified women are not practicing. They are not contributing to the workforce of the country. So when they get married also, they should look for such men who will support them, who will promote them. So that way, your talent wouldn't go waste, and you can become very active participant in the field of medicine.
That's a very nice insights and advice that you have given to those who are listening to this podcast, Doctor. I think it was wonderful to have you on our show. Thanks a lot for your inputs.
Thank you too for having me. Thank you.
That's all in today's episode. Tune in this evening on a news update podcast from the newsroom to catch all the exciting developments of the day and to get the news while it's still budding. For latest news and updates, log on to www.deccanherald.com. Check out our e-paper at www.deccanheraldepaper.com. To read news on the go, sign up to our Telegram channel t.me/deccanheraldnews. Keep up with the news from your interested sphere by downloading the all-new Deccan Herald app, in which you can personalize, have quick glance at news shots, check highlights, and even listen too. You can get it from Google Play Store and Apple App Store, and you can find the links to the same in the description.